Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good morning, New Orleans. Still got to be careful out there. The weather's not good. A lot of fog, a lot of different challenges out on the roadway. So please exhibit some patience and take your time coming into the city this morning. We've got a great show for you in the last hour. We're going to talk to Dr. Joshua Darr, Assistant Professor of Political Science at the Manship School of Mass Communication, relative to the debates last evening. Smallest debate stage thus far. Six candidates going toe-to-toe on any number of issues. In the second hour, the impeachment articles will be voted on today around 1 o'clock Central Standard Time. Then what? The House managers have been named, seven individuals, predominantly lawyers, by Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker of the House. We'll talk to Gene Healy from the Cato Institute about that. In this hour, the latest federal annual immigration report comes out, and it reveals a lot of different things. And here to talk to us about it is Dave Ray, Communications Director for the Federation of American Immigration Reform. Dave, welcome to the show.
Hey, Newell, how you doing, my friend? And Happy New Year.
Same to you, Dave. Always good to hear from you. This report comes out annually and is a summation of immigration activity throughout all of the processing centers within this country. What does that report reveal?
Well, I mean, the biggest newsmaker, which really isn't a newsmaker because it's pretty much on par with how many people we bring in every year, but there were 1.1 million legal immigrants who immigrated to the U.S. in 2018. There are a few takeaways from this data, though, that are worth talking about. I mean, first of all, immigration is at an historic high since the law changed in 1965, and we have been pretty much each and every year been experiencing immigration on autopilot, regardless of what the economy is doing, or if there's a 20% level of unemployment any given year, we would still be taking in 1.1 million. Legal immigrants. Another thing that's worth noting is that, for those who try to paint America as anti-immigrant because we want to control our borders, it's worth noting that we are, and this proves by far the most generous nation on earth when it comes to legal immigration. Now, in that 1.1 million number, the vast majority of those folks are coming here due to chain migration. And that is a system for selecting immigrants whereby people are selected because they have a family member here in the United States, not because they have a needed skill, level of education, knowledge of English, or anything like that. And so because the vast majority, with upwards to 80% or more of our immigrants coming here through family chain migration, it's resulted in a real lack of skill levels amongst our legal immigrant population. I mean, 25% of this 1.1 million immigrants have less than a high school education or less, and very little English. So it's little wonder why legal immigrants who come here, 63% of them, immigrant-headed households, end up on some form of public assistance. So I think these numbers scream for revision. Immigration law really hasn't been substantially changed since 1965. President Trump pledged to remake immigration, to recast it into the and make sure that it's in the national interest, to pivot the country to a more merit-based immigration system as opposed to this system that selects people just basically because they have an aunt or an uncle or a cousin or a brother or a sister here, and actually put some common sense into our immigration policy. The other thing that's worth noting is that, the only presidential commission that has looked at legal immigration in the last several decades was headed by Texas Congresswoman Barbara Jordan, a civil rights icon who traveled around the country and met. And one of their key recommendations was for a cap on legal immigration of about 500,000 a year, which is less than half of what we're taking right now. So there's some real room for improvement. It's also important to note that nobody is really talking about zero immigration. We still, at 500,000 a year, would be incredibly generous in terms of the visas we hand out. But immigration continues to be a huge social and economic factor in this country, and that's why it's a top-of-mind issue amongst voters, although you would have never known that last night during the Democratic debate.
Yeah, it wasn't a topic that was talked about a lot. But when we talk about the 1.1 million, I recall that that's a number in the second term of the Obama administration, when he started relaxing what was a very intrusive and relatively strict first term administration of Obama as it related to immigration, that this number is still larger than the numbers that were allowed in during his administration in the second term.
Yeah, it's really gone between, 900,000 a year and 1.1 million a year for year upon year after year. And as I said, the vast majority of these folks are coming here without really the tools that they need to make it in a modern America because of the way that we select them. We're actually setting these folks up to fail by having such a poor way of selecting people. I mean, just because somebody, person A would be a good candidate to be an immigrant, it doesn't mean everybody in their family who's related to them would also be an asset to the nation. And that's really the question that we need to be asking about our immigration policies, Newell, is, how many can we accommodate without pushing down wages and working conditions for U.S. workers? And then how do we best select these folks so that they can come here and achieve their American dream? I mean, when you don't have skills, you don't have English language abilities, I mean, it just screams for a merit-based system that would allow us to screen folks basically for the skills that they'll need to come here and to succeed, because that's really what we want of our legal immigrants, is for them to come and succeed, not for them to come and end up on public services.
And just for the benefit of the listening audience, Dave, because I think a lot of this gets lost in the conversation.
Right.
I read an article the other day that said at the immigration flow numbers today, if you apply to migrate to this country from the country of India, you would be in line for 151 years. And what that exhibits is that there's no shortage of those that want to come.
None.
And that we're not in a position to allow everyone in.
Right.
And a lot of folks have been, object to this conversation of the border control, people jumping out in front of the line. But when you put things in that context,
right,
it begs of you to be just a tad bit picky about who comes into this country, because the sphere of those that want to come is far greater than we could ever accommodate.
Well, I mean, we're the grand prize, Newell. Everybody wants to come to America, so we can afford, we should be picky over who we take in. The reason, there are backlogs because of a family chain migration. The reason why it's called chain migration is because, you select an immigrant and everybody related to them genetically through the chain joins the queue. But some people have 10 to 15 years, even in Central American countries. But the fact is that there are far more people who want to come here than we can accommodate. So the question for us as a nation is, how do we best select, how do we get the best folks who can come here and achieve their American dream, and by doing so help us to make the United States a better nation? We're not asking that question. I mean, the whole fact that our immigration policies have been on autopilot since 1965, and if the economy crashed yesterday and there was a mass recession and high unemployment, next year we would still take in 1.1 million legal immigrants. How could this possibly be in the national interest. It's like immigration policy is on autopilot, kind of in its own sphere outside of anything else that's going on in the country, unlike education policy or national security policy or any other public policy that actually makes sense in the context of the nation. So, you know, putting some thought into, you know, and the other thing about moving to a merit-based immigration system is that it's non-discriminatory. It would allow anyone from anywhere in the world to apply. There wouldn't be per-country caps. There wouldn't be long waits. We would do a point-based system like Canada and Australia have done, and, you know, you have points for education, points for certain achievements, technical skills, English language abilities. You know, all of these are really good, significant precursors as to that foretells how well an immigrant's probably going to be able to do once they get here. I mean, we are a very modern, high-tech economy. Can you imagine coming here, Newell, without so much as a high school diploma and no English? I mean, you've almost been set up to fall on your face. And unfortunately, that's what's happening to a lot of these folks.
And Congress is refusing to take any action, obviously, in this election year. You know, that.
Well, yeah, I mean, the border was
likely. That's not likely at all.
No, you know, the border was blowing up last year, and Congress was so tunnel visioned on the idea of impeachment that they basically threw it to the Trump administration to handle on their own, which thankfully they did. But you know, when is Congress going to get around to addressing our immigration system? That's a great question.
Recent Fifth Circuit Court of Appeal case allowing the Trump administration to transfer funds from DOD to continue construction of the southern border wall. Where do we go from here?
Well, I mean, this is a big boost for the Trump administration. They've been trying to, you know, grab monies wherever they could for the construction of the border wall. There's been about 100 miles of new wall constructed thus far. This is a big court win coming out of New Orleans. It releases $3.6 billion from the Department of Defense. If you recall last year when the president declared, you know, a border emergency, that freed up funds at the Department of Defense that could be reprogrammed for the border wall. The administration is now hoping to have 450 miles of border wall finished by the end of 2020. This is huge. You know, Noel, we were just down at the border about a month ago, and I can tell you that the Border Patrol Customs Enforcement are amongst the biggest supporters of the border wall. It helps funnel illegal aliens into areas that they're easier to apprehend. It actually is, you know, helps save lives of Border Patrol agents because it makes it more difficult for people, you know, throwing rocks through a short wall or something like that. It's certainly serves as a huge barrier to those who are coming in for other reasons, whether it's you know, drug traffickers or human smugglers smuggling in children or adults for exploitation, or even you know, terror cells that may be related to Iran that have been found throughout Latin America. So it's critical that the country gets this wall built. It's effective where it has been built, and it is supported very strongly by those who know the best, and that's the Border Patrol.
The enforcement experts I've talked to, without exception, I have not had someone tell me yet that the walls are not effective and are not an important tool in their fight in securing our borders.
Absolutely.
Simple. I mean,
yep.
It's
yeah.
Pretty straightforward on that one. Dave, thank you so much for joining us.
You
always
bet,
appreciate the update. Have a great week. We'll be back with you shortly, I'm sure. Dave Ray, Communications Director, Federation for the American Immigration Reform. When we come back, we're going to talk to David North, a fellow at the Center for Immigration Studies. Does the U.S. government reward some workers handsomely because they are not American? You're going to find this conversation very interesting. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.